It's all golden to me.
It's my dream to have a golden beard.
Younger but looks older.
I'll even try a squat. Here we go. The 6 of clubs.
The golden.
Welcome to another episode of the Talk Golden to Me video podcast show. Your host, Evan Golden, a.k.a. Golden TV, as always, here at the studios at the Berman Law Group. Today, one of my guests is actually an alumni from Marjory Stoneman Douglas, where I went to high school. And this young woman is certainly touching hearts. She is changing lives. She's making a huge difference in the world, in our community right here. Now she's spreading her mission, her philosophy throughout the world. So I want to learn all about what she's looking to accomplish. She's taking a tragedy that we faced in our community, and she's turning it into triumph, which is pretty fascinating and applaudable, and definitely want to learn all about the inner workings from it. So, Brittany, welcome to the Talk Golden to Me video podcast show.
Thank you so much. I am feeling golden.
Yeah, that's the goal here. We want you to feel golden, and we want you to let it all out, and that hopefully the gold will help you express everything. So, yes. Brittany Sinich.
Yes, that's me. You got it right.
You're known as the 5'1" teacher and the creator and the founder of Unbreakable.
Yes.
Are you like the only one that just goes by like their height? Like, people don't call me like 5'10.5". I like this, that your nickname is your actual height.
I'm telling you, like, everywhere I go, I'll be in Target, and if someone sees me, if they do recognize me, they'll just be like, oh, 5'1".
5'1".
Guilty.
So Brittany Sinich is an educator. She's a teacher, and she was a teacher at Stoneman Douglas when the unfortunate incident occurred, when the shooting occurred. I'm a Douglas graduate. It's something that I still think about every single day. I drive past Douglas, and it kind of frustrates me because I haven't seen a lot of the changes I hope I would. I've seen a lot of great voices. But when it comes to our community and healing as a community, where are we at right now?
You know, I always tell people, even for me, it's different every single day. Like, I have good days and I have bad days. And for me, my story, it's like every single day I'm still just trying to heal and get back to where I was, because for me, as a graduate of Stoneman Douglas, that's the only school I wanted to teach at. And you go through something that's your worst nightmare in your first year. You're just trying to get back to that excited 22-year-old who just wanted to teach. So that's where I'm at right now. And you know,
you were a student at Douglas, and you became a teacher there. And you were a teacher the day of the shooting. You were in the classroom where the shooter was going on.
Mm-hmm. Yep. My freshman year at Stoneman Douglas, you weren't there when the building was built, but
don't age me, girl. Don't age me, girl.
That building just had so much significance in my life. It was the first classroom I ever had when I was a freshman. It was first period Spanish. My English class was in there. I remember hanging posters in there. And then when I got a job there, they were like, you're going to be in the 1200 building on the first floor. And I was elated. I was so excited because that was such a special building to me. And I hung my graduation cap up and my diploma, and I, you know, showed my eagle pride to the students. And, you know, one day I'm just teaching Romeo and Juliet, and we're writing Valentine's Day cards to other characters in Romeo and Juliet, and you hear a noise that you see in movies, that you see on the news, that you wouldn't think, you know our school, our city, it's our safe space, and it changed my life forever, and I feel really, really lucky to be here today.
What was it like going on? Did the shooter actually come into your classroom? Was he near your classroom? You're in the building where the shooting actually went down.
On the first floor. He went in, you know, it was very select rooms, and it was just absolutely terrible, but we did have training. So, I mean, and nothing can prepare you for this at all, and everyone acts differently, but my senses kicked in right away. We shut the lights. We got down under my desk. The kids were in the other blind spot, and I just held them. I was actually the first 911 call, and I found that out when I was in my parents' room and the news was on, and then I heard my voice on TV. They're like, and here's the first 911 call, and, you know, it's like each day – You hear different things that are unraveling from this, and it's very surreal to see pictures online, because I really try not to look at it because I don't want to relive it. But, you know, sometimes it's hard not to, because the community wants to know more information and they want to get to the bottom of this and get through all of this together. And sometimes it is seeing those hard images and hearing, you know, about the 911 calls, and it just feels very, very surreal. But no, he skipped over my room, and I know there's probably no rhyme or reason, but I just have to be really, really grateful to be here. And that's why, you know, I do the things that I do today, because I'm here.
You've kind of changed your whole outlook on life after dealing with that.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So sorry you had to go through that. And obviously seeing your students go through that and what they were dealing with, you've created a whole mission, a whole philosophy. Is it a whole nonprofit organization? Is it a movement? Tell me about the Unbreakable organization and what you're doing. I'm reading right here a quote, and this is pretty awesome, that they are calling you the voice of hope for Parkland. The voice of hope for Parkland. Tell me about the Unbreakable organization.
Yeah, so I was never one to really go to therapy, right? And, you know, after the tragedy, I was like, this is something that I'm going to have to do. If I want to go back to school after this and be strong, I need to go. So I did something called EMDR. My therapist, on February 20th, 6 days after, she had me recount everything from the morning to when I got home. And when I was all done talking, after several minutes, she looked at me and she said, you mentioned that you were under your desk with your students and you felt this light from your window. And how did you feel in that moment? And the first word that came out of my mouth, which is the most random word, was unbreakable. You know, it's just like an adjective. You don't really say you. And while I was scared and had absolutely no idea what was going to happen, I didn't know if it was a drill, if it wasn't a drill, I felt like we were going to get out of there. Like, it was a feeling that I couldn't really describe. And it makes me feel sick to think that I knew that because of what was really going on outside those hallways. But I knew we were going to be okay because we had each other. And I felt like we were unbreakable in there. And I think that showed going back to school and losing my classroom. And my students and I, we still had that unbreakable bond. And my school's unbreakable. And these kids from March for Our Lives are unbreakable. And so it became a mantra in my life, it's safe to say. And I used that word to really get through the school year and the following one. Literally got a tattoo that says unbreakable. My mother wanted to kill me. But it became such a mantra in my life. So this past July, I launched the Unbreakable organization. And one day I would love for it to be a nonprofit. Right now we are like on our way to doing that, but our mission is to help individuals and communities heal just like us while finding what makes them unbreakable. So there's so many people out there who are going through, you know, whether it's a hurricane that devastates your town to a school shooting, and they need help. And, you know, Parkland, luckily our voices have been heard and we have a lot of attention, but a lot of communities don't get that. So I want to shine a light on them. So each, I would say, season, we aim to give back. So we just gave back to El Paso, Texas. They had a shooting at their local Walmart, and we were able to donate 1,600 bracelets to a school that say unbreakable in their motto for that reminder, and give their teachers agendas. We're getting ready to go to Lake Mary High School and give back a whole student lounge. We're going to like redo their whole classroom for them and just give back to these kids and show them that they're unbreakable. That's the whole mission with this.
Great philosophy, and I love the mantra and the purpose. Is it actual programs? Are you, outside of maybe giving them tangible items, is there actually like programs or different sessions you're doing with them? Is it peer counseling? What does it kind of consist of?
Yeah, so with El Paso, we weren't able to physically go there. I mean, we're so new. But for Lake Mary, we have a team that's going to physically go there. And what happened at their school was a shooting suicide, which is so terrible. And these kids, they need help and they need a voice. So we're definitely going to try to set up assemblies and give them resources. I mean, Douglas was really lucky to have mental health counselors and therapy dogs. And I want to make sure that these schools get those same materials. So that's definitely what we're trying to foster and give back.
Great. So financial contributions will obviously be beneficial for you to help with your mission. So viewers and listeners, certainly encourage you to go to theunbreakableorg.com. And that's obviously short for the Unbreakable Organization. So theunbreakableorg.com. So pretty fascinating what you're doing. I think that a lot of people, when they deal with tragedy and hurt and loss, it's very easy to kind of start going down, you know, the wrong road and start blaming, start feeling guilty. How did you seem so like positive. Like you said, we knew we were going to be unbreakable right when it first started. You knew we were going to get, were you always born with this kind of positive mindset and kind of that outlook, glass half full?
Well, it's so weird because if you go down to my Instagram, it was like right before the tragedy, like days before, I posted a picture and it says, we don't always have to be brave, but we can always be strong. It was either that or it was, you don't always have to be strong, but we can always be brave. Mm-hmm. I mean, either way, just knowing that we can always have this strength within us. It's so weird that I posted this like right before something, and like little did I know like how brave we would have to be. And I've just always believed in, you know, trying to be strong. As a teacher, that's what you want to do, and mm-hmm. you want to be there for your students and be a good example. And we would always do little inspirational things in my classroom and watch music videos that gave the kids hope, because I think it's so much more than just grammar. You know, it's making sure these kids are good people and that, you know, they're inspired and strong. So, yeah, I try, but, you know, I also try to, on my social media, I'm very transparent about my journey. I'll get on there ugly crying and telling them that healing is not easy. And then I'll tell them about my good days, but also my bad days. And that, you know, I had to take this year off because I looked at myself and said, if you're going to do this and you're going to keep teaching, you need to take this year for you and figure out what your next move is. So this year's definitely been concentrated on my mental health, and it's something we should be talking about.
Certainly. Yeah. The mental health awareness mm-hmm. and that epidemic has been kind of shoved on the rug, but I think it's starting to get some light on and creating better programs now. And, you know, I'm looking at your Instagram right now. Viewers and listeners, definitely follow her on her personal Instagram. It's 5'1" teacher, all spelled out. And yeah. I think that people are hungry for inspiration, and mm-hmm. they're hungry for positivity. You watch local news, it's all mm-hmm. doom and gloom, and, you know, the everyday lives are stressful. You know, life is hard. Do you feel that you being so open and sharing your good, your bad, people are kind of coming to you to be like, you know, she's dealing with this, she can overcome. People are kind of, you're a role model for so many people now.
The messages that I get are honestly incredible, where people find it within them to share their stories with me. Like, hey, I went through this in my local movie theater or at a festival, and I didn't think I could do it, but watching you do it is giving me hope. And, you know, I get so nervous to post sometimes because I'm like, am I going to be judged for this? And there's always people that will judge you, but it's the people, you know, the small group of people that want to judge you compared to the large group of people that you're actually changing their lives and you're there for them. And it's kind of like, you know, you're just a mm-hmm. friend that they can relate to. I think that really, really inspires me to keep going as well.
Are you making up a lot of these inspirational quotes and all these things? Yeah, or are you pulling them from the internet?
I love writing. I absolutely love writing. On the Unbreakable organization, for the most of them, I write all of those myself. Well, and then
these
sometimes
are great. You
got to
start
them.
Trademarking your copyright. They're fantastic.
Thank you.
Forget that you're an educator.
Yeah,
brilliant.
I love
woman.
Writing.
No, it shows. It's really inspiring, powerful stuff. So certainly encourage all our viewers, listeners, 5'1" teacher on the gram, and then also go right there and follow as well the Unbreakable Org on the Instagram as well. So awesome stuff, and you're also doing fantastic stuff on YouTube. I think it's very, you say, you know, you show ugly cry face. Women, and I think it's everybody, they don't want to show that the negative side of them online. Everyone's just posting the perfect right. stuff. You know, they call it fake book, whatever you want to share. How are you able to do that? Like, aren't you like the confidence to do that? It's pretty impressive.
Honestly, it's because people will ask, you know, like, are you just positive all the time? And I'm not afraid to say, no, I'm not. Mm-hmm. And I'd rather just be remembered for being real and being relatable, because I think over time, you can't really relate to the people that only show the highlights of their life. You know, some people choose to because, like you said, the news is so sad. They want to be that happy space, but I want to be that relatable space. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not like down to just be like the rainbows and sunshine. I'm also going to talk about healing and what that looks like for me.
It's so great. The Unbreakable organization, helping individuals, communities heal and finding what makes them unbreakable.
Yes. Do you know what makes you unbreakable?
I think just, you know, I have a lot of similar mm-hmm. traits as you. I think that, you know, I take any situation I'm dealt with, whether even it's a bad one, mm-hmm. I'm trying to take the positive out of that and what you can learn from that. And, you know, I'm all about constructive criticism. I'm all about learning from mistakes. So I try to keep it just very positive, and I'm open to, you know, learning. I think once people think like, oh, I'm a know-it-all or I could do everything, mm-hmm. and, you know, that's kind of your first step in the wrong direction. I think we always have to be growing and learning, you know, as people, as humans, for right. sure. Let me talk about the word humanitarian with you, mm-hmm. because I'm looking at the definition earlier, and you really match all those characteristics, all those traits. What you have done with the dance marathon, they're calling you the dance marathon guru online. I did some research before mm-hmm. our interview and you appearing. So you're a guru in dance. That sounds pretty fun, to dance, have fun with your friends, but raise a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about this dance marathon and how you became the guru of it.
Yeah. What university did you go to?
I went to Central Florida in Orlando.
Okay, cool. So they have a nightthon program, and I went to Florida State, and that's where I first heard about dance marathon. For those of you who don't know what it is, basically you stand for those who can't. Every mm-hmm. school has a different set of hours, and you raise funds for kids with pediatric illnesses. So it was something I brought to Stoneman Douglas in my first year. We were actually supposed to have the marathon a week after the shooting,
aye,
and
aye.
All the stuff was in my classroom. Obviously, we couldn't get it, and I looked at my exec board, and I said, is this something you guys even want to do? And they were like, absolutely.
After the shooting, do we mm-hmm. still want to do it?
Oh, yeah, and we did it in April that year, 2 months after, and those kids, for their first year, held up a number of $66,000, and that's the highest fundraising number that any high school's ever raised in their first year. And then last year we raised over $100,000 at Douglas.
That is awesome.
It's incredible to see these kids, you know, take a movement that they do in college, and we raise money all year. And then what we do is we take the gym at Stoneman Douglas, you know, you've been there, and we transform the whole gym. We get entertainment, performers, food, all these local places donate food. It's a big event where these kids can just celebrate and dance and have fun. And then at the end of the event, it's usually like 6 hour event. In college, it's like 40. we reveal how much money we raise. So as of right now, we are still currently fundraising, and it's all done online. And, you know, obviously we have a big number to reach
you
this
set,
year.
You set the bar pretty high,
yeah,
right?
I was like, oh God, maybe I shouldn't have pushed them that much last year, because now we have
you
such
guys
a bar.
Could do it. Let me know. I'd love to help support and promote absolutely. That as well. So great cause. And that's a lot of fun. I forgot about dance marathons.
Yes. Yeah, it is. It's so much fun. And to see the kids like really do something, I tell them it's something bigger than themselves, you know? So it's really cool. I'm excited to see what we do this year. I still go in for that.
Great, great. You miss teaching at all right now?
Absolutely. I actually just shared a post. There's something that I do every year. It's called the One Word Project, where, you know, like unbreakable is kind of like my word, my mantra, but I want kids to find their one word as well. So it's a project that I shared online, and people do all over the world now in their classrooms, which is so cool. And I went to Coral Springs Middle actually like 2 days ago, and I did it with them. And it was my first time being back in the classroom, like really just doing my thing. Teacher let me come in and share this lesson. And these kids, just them asking me questions and telling me that they liked the lesson, it really affirmed me that I am, you know, I'm ready to go back in. So my one word that I chose was ready. And I definitely feel like I'm ready to go back into the classroom. You know, I don't know where that's going to be, but I'm so ready for a new beginning.
Well, even if you're not shaping the kids, you know, or students in the classroom, you're still shaping them through the Unbreakable organization. So you're right. Still providing your gift.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I still say, you know, we are educators. Whether you're in the classroom or mm-hmm. not, you're educating online through Unbreakable, traveling to different schools. But I'm definitely ready to go back into the classroom one day. You know, it's sad that we have to live with these fears, but just remembering that we're Unbreakable, I think I'll be able to get through it.
That's great. And I read an awesome article about you, how Lysol awarded you a whole room makeover, and you actually didn't even want to accept it. You're like, I think there's other schools or other people mm-hmm. that are more deserving. This is coming from a teacher who's just lost students and friends. Pretty amazing that you even still had that mindset. There's probably someone else that, you know, deserves it more, mm-hmm. but you did end up accepting it. That was probably a cool experience, huh?
Yeah, it was really cool. I after I lost my classroom, me along with the other teachers in the 1200 building, we had to move around. So I pushed a cart around, and my cart was actually wonderful. I decorated it very well, into about 5 different classrooms. And one of the classrooms that I got to push into to teach after the tragedy was a very small room that no one really wanted. It used to be like the IS room, internal suspension. So going into the following school year, I was like, you know what, if no one wants that room, I'll take it. It's really small, but it's cozy and I feel comfortable in there. And that is when a friend of mine who was doing the contest with Lysol, her name's Brittany as well, she reached out and said, you know what, you should go for it and apply and just see what happens. And I did, and I ended up accepting it for my students. And I will tell you, that room is still at the school. I did not take anything. It's a gift for the school, and it is such a special room. People walk past it and the kids are so excited to be in a room with like wood floors, and yeah, so it's really awesome for the kids.
That was great. Yeah, I'll have our producers, editors try to edit some pictures of that, because the room looks fantastic. I want our viewers and listeners to see that.
Yeah, so there's a reaction on YouTube of me seeing it for the first time, and I think I said, oh my God, like 15 times. I just couldn't believe it looked like that.
We are talking with Brittany Sinich from the Unbreakable organization. She is an educator and she is a healer, and she is bringing our community together, and you're a true inspiration. Your parents must be so proud of you. You know, like I said, you're a true humanitarian. You're doing life right. And, you know, I say this on my show all the time. I say it to my kids, you know, it's cool to be kind. It's cool to be nice. So we just kind of need more love in this world, and you're definitely kind of leading that way.
Which is
applaudable for sure.
Means a lot.
Absolutely. We play a fun game with all our guests. I was wondering if you wanted to play a game with me.
Okay, let's play a game. I love games.
You do love games.
I do.
Okay, this game is called Word for Word. Follow the directions here. Don't mess up.
Okay.
I'm going to say a word, maybe a name, an object. You have to say the first word that comes to your mind as soon as you hear it. You have to be brutally honest.
Okay.
No cheating.
Oh, God.
No lying.
I'm nervous.
You say the first word that comes to your mind. Are you ready, Brittany, for Word on the Talk Golden to Me video podcast show?
Yes, I'm ready.
All right. Producer, give me that game show music that you always play in the background. Yes, that is it. All right. Brittany, word for word, say the first word that comes to your mind. Are you ready? Here we go. Eagles.
Douglas.
Shorty.
Me.
Unbreakable.
My students.
Community.
Parkland.
Teaching.
My heart.
School bus.
Yellow.
Guacamole.
I love.
Parkland.
Home.
Detention.
I had one.
Hope.
For the future.
Instagram.
Fun.
New girl.
Ugh, best.
Golden.
You.
Hey, that's word for word with Brittany. Congratulations. She's got 100%.
Thank you.
I'm very proud
of
you.
That was fun.
You know what I'm about to ask you right now?
What?
What'd you get a detention for?
Oh, my gosh. And it was my one detention.
I thought you are not allowed to be a teacher when you get a detention.
Oh, is that a thing? I was freaking PE, and we had the option then where you had the dress-up days or whatever, and you would go outside or the gym, and my teacher was taking us outside, but I thought we had the option, so I wanted to go inside. Obviously, it's like 98 degrees in Florida. So I went inside the gym all dressed out, and she told me I was out of place, and it was a detention because I didn't go outside. So that was a sad day for me in detention.
It's probably like the weakest detention I've ever heard.
Yeah, I just wanted to be
when
inside.
It comes to dress code violations, I was probably like the most non-risque one they might have to deal with.
Oh, dress code has changed so much.
Yes.
I think they let the kids actually wear pretty much whatever they want now.
It's hot really in South Florida.
Themselves. I know. Hot. We need to be able to wear shorts.
I agree. Unbelievable. So this Unbreakable organization, I want to know what you have in store in the future. I definitely sense like, I don't know, a talk show or a book coming from you.
Yeah.
We need to share this mission of philosophy. What's kind of the goal objective now?
Well, obviously, you know, our mission is to help individuals and communities heal, find what makes them unbreakable. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I told you about El Paso and Lake Mary, but it's really everyone. I want our Instagram to grow so people can be part of this movement. I want it to be a community. One day I would love for it to have a branch of a nonprofit. I just would love for us to get there one day and continue giving back to others. You know, that is the goal, just making it bigger and better. And right now having more people hear about it. And I definitely love writing and using my voice. So you might see stuff later on in the future with that.
You're such a good writer. That's what I'm saying. I think a book deal has to be part of the plan.
Mm-hmm. It's exciting. We'll see.
You're not revealing any too many secrets.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean,
I see a publisher was calling you before we started the show.
Yeah, they're all lining up.
Listen, you're a true inspiration, and I think that we need more people, like I said, like you on planet Earth. So
thank you.
Keep being 5'1" teacher.
Thank you. We'll stay golden.
What happens if you shrink a little bit? Are you going
to
change
it? Everyone always asks me that. I go to the doctor, and they measure me, and I'm like, please be 5'1". Please be 5'1". We're fine. We're good right now.
Good things definitely come in small packages. We always have to throw some cliche reminiscences on our show here. So we definitely appreciate your time and you're a ball of sunshine. You're beautiful inside and out. And you got a new fan and a supporter here. So
thank you.
I'm going to be following the Unbreakable organization. Awesome. I want to help contribute. I want to help support. Like I said, as a Douglas graduate and alumni, it's something I think about every single day. My heart breaks for those families, for those kids. There's no words, obviously. And like I said, I'm also very frustrated. I haven't seen a lot of the change. Mm-hmm. And does that bother you? I mean, I tried to donate metal detectors, and they wouldn't even accept them. And they said, you know, we have to put them in every school. I said, even if it's just for in the guidance room, or even when you're going to a basketball game.
Right.
Does that bother you that the change has been minimal?
I mean, I've seen like very, very small things, like you said, you know, security checkpoints, gates that we never really had when we went to school there. But I'm really interested in the nationwide change, and I'm definitely following what like March for Our Lives is doing and how kids are just using their voice more. And I think that when we all come together and, you know, we actually all take action and use our voice, we'll start to see that change, hopefully. But yeah, it is. And it's really upsetting driving past the building that's still been there. And we're going on the 2-year anniversary this next year. And I think everyone is just ready for it to go away, because these kids need a new beginning and a fresh start for change.
And the building is still there, right? They're plans to knock it down, I guess, after everything is done legal wise.
So I just think these kids deserve change by now, and these families. I can't imagine.
You said earlier about the mental health. What can be done? Because, you know, there's all these HIPAA laws and, you know, health intrusion. Do you have a solution? Do you have any ideas, any programs? Maybe the Unbreakable organization is the key.
Yeah, I definitely think the kids just need resources. You know, they need to know that they're not alone. I remember coming back to school, they gave us these mental health counselors. And at first, I kind of just shrugged it off. I wasn't really interested in someone coming in my classroom and following me around. But it ended up being one of the best things for me to know that there was someone there who just cares and is here to listen. And I think sometimes therapy is a very like taboo topic where we don't really want to talk about it. But I think therapy is cool. I think everyone should go to therapy. It's so fun to just sit down and talk to someone. And I think kids nowadays, they might not think it's like the cool thing to do, but it's actually the good thing for them to do. It's good to talk about it.
I think men, boys have a hard time maybe expressing their feelings more than you know, women, and kind of opening up and sharing. So I think that just going is the greatest part. Once you do it and you realize, you know, how therapeutic it can be. Yeah. And, you know, it's all about, you say the word community a lot. Mm-hmm. So when you can have a community come together and work together as a common goal to be a better human being and heal, I think it's like contagious.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's all I could ask for, is for this community to just continue coming together and being stronger than we ever were before.
Great stuff, Brittany. You're an awesome person. I'm definitely going to follow your journey
and
your path in life. Make sure viewers and listeners get on her Instagram. Her personal one's 5'1" teacher. Get on that. You already have, I mean, it's pretty, you have hundreds of thousands of followers on here, so
they're awesome. They're speaking of community, they are really amazing. They really uplift me. Comment section is lit, as the kids say.
Nice. I gotta start using this cool lingo. I'm learning. You know, you already tried to age me how old I was. This was Brittany Sinich. She is the queen of being unbreakable. She is the voice, the hope of Parkland, a true inspiration. We appreciate your time coming in here today. I can't wait to hear you speak, and I'm going to subscribe to your YouTube channel as well. So make sure viewers and listeners take that time as well and support her mission if you can. Do any financial contributions as well to the Unbreakable organization. Obviously, it's certainly needed, as you see the tangible items that they're giving to these people that are just broken right now. So great stuff. Viewers and listeners, we always appreciate your time tuning into our Talk Golden to Me video podcast show. Like, subscribe, do all that fun stuff. We, of course, appreciate it. Helps me bring on wonderful guests like Brittany onto the program. But we are out of here now. So, again, we appreciate your time. Brittany, what's your sign-off message? What's your, like, golden nuggets, golden wisdom to our viewers? Go ahead. Take this show out of here.
Definitely find what makes you unbreakable and then share it with the world. And thank you for listening.
Unbreakable. We need like a song.
Yes, we do. Maybe that's next for me. A theme song.
That's the right one. We're out of here. Thank you, guys. Peace.
Bye, everyone.